Rear window, that trombone shot, though.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Hello, Steve Newell, are you there?
Why, hello, indeed I am.
Okay.
Beaming in.
How's your last week been? Have you managed to watch a few TV shows and movies?
I bloody well have, actually. It's been quite good in that regard. Mm-hmm. I've started watching the eagerly awaited mega big-budget Apple TV Plus adaptation of Isaac Asimov's classic sci-fi series Foundation. I got so excited when this was announced. Must be like a year or two ago now. Mm. This Isaac Asimov's Foundation novels date right back to the 40s of the 20th century. These are, as a, no pun intended, foundational works of science fiction literature.
Okay.
But probably what stopped them coming to the screen before is that, like, so much of these novels kind of just involve these huge pivotal scenes that are basically just two dudes talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one's like, ah, well, my plan is this, I've defeated you. And the other one goes, ah, well, what you don't know is while we've been talking, this has been happening the whole time. The other one's like, ah, but while that's been happening, this has been happening. So it doesn't necessarily, scream a great movie if that's sort of the way it proceeds. So there's a little bit of work to do by the TV series writers and producers to make it a bit more dynamic.
Okay.
Which I'm really pleased to say they have done a good job of.
Yeah, a bit of poetic license happening with some of the scripting and plotting.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the source material takes place over a 1,000-year span. Scientist predicts the end of a galactic empire. He's mathematically modeled that basically this kind of highly cohesive but kind of delicate society is going to collapse, and comes up with a plan that, you know, won't stop the galaxy from kind of collapsing, but will mean that that humanity can rebuild itself in a much shorter space of time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the powers that be don't want to hear anything of the sort. No, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Classic powers.
Kind of like climate change sort of thing.
Well, you know what? Maybe so.
Draw the parallels at your will, John.
Science fiction, the king of allegory. So this chap, Harry Seldon, played by Jared, great British character actor, Jared Harris, who will be familiar to Mad Men viewers, kind of sets about really just coming up with this cunning plan. The said powers that be are quite interesting. So in the novel, it's kind of a succession of rulers over a 1,000-year period, which, again, isn't kind of great for screen continuity. So screenwriter David S. Goyer, who's put this adaptation together, came up with a quite neat idea of rather than having a monarchy that was just a series of different actors, he's invented this idea of a kind of dynasty of clones, where they're all clones of the same person.
Mm.
But at any given point, there's a teenage one, an adult one, and an old one. And they kind of wake a new one up from the vat as the old one ages out and kind of keep the cycle going over and over and over, which is quite a buzzy concept. And as you, lets you kind of see these actors really kind of playing different generations of this weirdly evolving thing. Which itself is kind of one of the stagnating things that's putting the galaxy in such risk of collapse. So they spent big bucks on this. There's big buzzy ideas. There's more than just men having battles of wits via conversation in it. Two episodes deep, and there's another 8 episodes in the season to come, dropping weekly via Apple. So sci-fi nerds should definitely check out Foundation.
Okay, you're saying watch it. I thought this was a real long, it kind of wasn't that good kind of pitch, but you're saying
nah,
watch
it. No, you should watch this.
Okay,
this
good.
Yeah.
I love sci-fi. I love it too.
I love it as well. I never used to, but I kind of came around. I think it was probably the gateway was the Alien movies. That's like, shit, this is crazy.
My partner hates it, so I have trouble sort of finding time to view it.
I'm picky about my sci-fi. I do love most of like Black Mirror type stuff. Love that. But
yeah, this is kind of one that if you're trying to squeeze this around your weekly viewing, like this is not a show to kind of watch at the end of the night.
Demands a bit of effort, does it?
Yeah,
bit of,
okay. You don't want to get this, and it's good. Definitely not going to serve up answers on a plate. So just go with it. You know, just go with it. I think it's fortunately the kind of way it's set up is Harry Seldon is the sort of mastermind with a big mega plan that no one else understands. So all the characters are kind of in the same boat as you, the viewer, anyway. So just roll with it. And okay. Look, but there's nothing wrong with a bit of mystery.
As long as it does, it's got to resolve a little bit.
It does have to resolve, but I'm also enjoying a bit of mystery as seen in submarine mystery thriller Vigil, which is playing on TVNZ on demand. I'm just a couple of episodes into this 6-episode show.
Did you say a submarine mystery?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
They're not trying to figure out which submarine did it. It's only set aboard
Cluedo, but with submarines. Okay.
Yeah, it's only set aboard one particular submarine. So
is it better than Das Boot?
Well, it's a bit of a different beast to Das Boot. I'm not sure if it's really that realistic. The concept of the way it portrays a murder being investigated on a submarine and a police detective being dropped off by helicopter because the said sub is part of Britain's nuclear deterrent and as such needs to stay at sea doing what it's doing, i.e. Balancing world geopolitics with a threat of constant nuclear annihilation. But hey, it's pretty good. So the premise of this is that a sailor meets an unfortunate demise aboard. They've got to keep the sub on its mission. So yeah, they chuck a police detective on whose job it is to figure out what's going on. And of course, gentlemen, you'll be very surprised, things aren't what they initially seem.
Oh. Kind of thing.
Quite digging this. And because it's British, it's from the same folks that made same production company that made The Bodyguard and Line of Duty. It's kind of got a nice prestige kind of quality to it, but isn't afraid to be a little, just a little bit maybe stretching reality slightly here and there.
That's TV, mate.
That's TV for you, John. That's one of my sayings that I say quite a lot. I'm glad you've picked it up. That's TV for you, kind of thing.
There's this other thing called movies as well, which
I've watched a couple of movies. I think John's watched a couple of movies. We've been watching movies.
There used to be these things that we got to watch in a big room with other people. These things were called cinemas. And other people around this fine country of ours have been able to see a music documentary called Summer of Soul
in
the past couple of weeks. Finally, residents of Tamaki Makaurau will be able to watch this tonight thanks to Disney Plus. This is a documentary directed by Questlove from The Roots. It's about the 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival, which was a massive
preview.
Concert event. Yeah, look, this thing looks great. It's this event that kind of weirdly never really attained a huge kind of historical significance, but over 6 days, 300,000 people came to this gig. They saw acts like Sly and the Family Stone, Stevie Wonder, The Fifth Dimension, Nina Simone, Gladys Knight, Staple Singers, and it was filmed, but nothing really happened with the film. So what Questlove's film does is not only let us see some of this great performance footage, and I think seeing those acts in 1969 is going to be shit hot in terms of the performances. Can't wait to see footage of Sly and the Family Stone in 69. But it also sounds like it investigates a little bit why this thing is actually seen as obscure when it was a huge event, the same year as Woodstock and with a lineup which is probably as comparably awesome. I haven't seen this yet, but that's going to be my evening tonight, thanks to Disney Plus. So it's probably like a turn up around 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock type thing. So crack into a couple more episodes of Vigil Me, then it's sold.
That's another one of those situations where you really want to have your TV connected to a hi-fi. I feel like the modern TV has focused on the screen and not speakers, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to get like the speakers as a separate thing. I think that's the way they're wanting everyone to go now. Now that you can't put the remote inside of the TV or press anything with a bit of bamboo. Time's
now that they're no longer rear projection and all that.
We've watched movies as well, Steve. I watched Coming Home in the Dark. Man, that is a shit. A lot of bad stuff happens in that movie, but it was really well shot. Holy crap!
I don't think New Zealand's ever quite looked the way it does in that film before. Man. It really captures that
sparseness.
Really captures the isolation in a way. Like there's plenty of cinema of unease out of New Zealand, but it just has a particular look and feel that's its own, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was like, the story was a little bit, oh, man, but the just really well shot, really impressive. Also watched a movie called This Is the Night. This is a 2021 release, and it was kind of like one for the whole family. So I recommend. It's a funny little story. Basically, a town that's obsessed with Rocky, and Rocky 3 is coming out, and it kind of pivots around that. Do you know about it?
I don't know this.
It's got Naomi Watts in it. It's got Method Man in it. It's got some other people in it. It's a movie.
It's a movie about a movie.
It's a coming of age, hard out. There's a lot of coming of age situations there. There's like one of the sons is figuring out if he's trans or not. One of the kids is just like a little jerk who's mucking around. You know, it's got everything.
That sounds. Look, you've colour me intrigued.
Set in 1982, you know.
I've just got a submarine thriller to clear the decks, unintended odds, and then Summer of Soul to watch. But life's so hard with this list of good things to watch, isn't it?
We spoil.
This is the night for the whole family. I'm just saying. The whole family pick.
And John, have you been? What have you been?
I've got to confess, I've been going back and watching the Matrix movies, and Matrix 2, not as bad as I remember. The rave and sex scene at the start, not so good, but actually not too bad on the whole. I think 3 is the one which is the total punishment. I haven't seen, or haven't rewatched that yet, but I've also been watching.
Were they having
trapped
that sex scene? Was that in the bathroom at Zion?
No, it was like a little cave that they had to themselves.
But it was in a rave, so. That probably could have been the bathroom. It's a pretty shit place, like not very good.
If you're gonna kink shame the host of the post sentient apocalypse of AI human batteries, come on, look. Surely, whatever little glimmer of humanity is left gets to have whatever experience it wants.
Let's go to the Zion Cave bathroom, babe. Figure it out. What else were you watching?
Trapped, an Icelandic sort of murder mystery, which is bloody good, actually. I didn't know if I could handle a drama this week, but just started it and well into it. So good.
Yeah, this is a real goodie. I dug Trapped. And as the name suggests... has a good way of enclosing a murder mystery in a kind of claustrophobic setting, which I dug. And just the idea of doing something out of Iceland is a pretty intriguing spot.
Yeah, it's great scenery and hectic conditions.
Yeah, it's hard yakka for everyone working on the shoot, but boy, do you get instant great looking telly out of filming in Iceland.
Yeah, living in the snow would be crazy, wouldn't it?
Assuming everyone gets paid handsomely.
Yeah.
Hey,
there's a great score, actually, I'll just mention, of Trapped is one of the works of composer Johan Johansson, who tragically passed away a few years ago, but he's the dude who scored Arrival and is just an Icelandic genius. So the vibe there, if you're a fan of his movie scores, get into Trapped.
Mm.
And also, yes, I think rewatching The Matrix is a great idea. We've all got to get ready for Matrix 4 this Christmas.
I think that's just one of the ones that I don't need to do.
Always great.
Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. I'm
frothing. I'm very excited to see it.
It's probably not going to be the worst one.
Yeah. Well, I haven't watched three. Rewatched three. So, yeah.
I think the odds of it being the worst one are not.
I'm just worried that the story's going to just paint so much bullshit about how we managed to get another movie out. Like, oh, by the way, all that we told you in those other movies, none of that was real. You know, like, oh, great. Thanks. Am I supposed to trust this one at all? I'm getting, you know, like, franchises, well, you can't trust them.
You know, there's usually the reasons for making a new film and a series, particularly in our kind of era of just cannibalizing the shit out of our past, to put bums on seats is purely greed.
And Keanu Reeves' popularity.
But what I quite like about this one is that Lana Wachowski, who's directing and writing, is she spoke about why she wanted to make another Matrix film. She lost a couple of people in her life, and her grieving process was realizing how much she wanted them to be back. Didn't have the power to do that, and then realized, but I've got the power to bring these characters back. And the whole project is basically her reviving the dead of fiction to make up for the loss in her real life.
Jesus.
Wow.
You know? What do you think of that reasoning that gives a bit of emotional heft behind it, that's not just, hey, let's sell some popcorn.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And on that cheery note, I will go and watch some murder investigation on a submarine.
Cool.
See you gents next week.
Best of luck.
See ya.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.